God is good all the time. Amen. We welcome everybody into the house of the Lord. I also want to welcome those that are watching online. Let's give a make some noise for those watching online. Want to praise the Lord for a couple things before we get into the word this morning. I want to thank the Lord and praise him. We had a wonderful time at our church picnic last Monday, an awesome time. Hundreds of people came out, and our Long Beach campus actually won the tug of war. Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. And I can't wait to get over there today, because I was looking at that picture and some of their faces look kind of questionable right there. Right? So we got to have a talk about that. But we had an awesome time in the Lord. Hundreds of people came out. We played baseball, basketball. We ate. And then we ate some more. And the kids had fun. Amen. They had fun. Amen. So we praise the Lord that we're doing life together. We're doing the life together. I also want to thank the church for joining me on Friday. Friday, we had a candlelight vigil for one of the families in our church. Young son was killed in the Harbor City area, and the church led a candlelight vigil in the middle of the neighborhood on the street. And it was just amazing. We were on the street, and I looked around and seen Chapel of Change, like, everywhere. Just everywhere. And I praise God that we have a church that is not afraid of the darkness. Amen? Somebody ought to praise the Lord for that. I mean, we're not caught up in the four corners of this beautiful building. Amen? But we into invading spaces and places. And one of the, like, powerfulest moments of that night, I was called by one of the sisters. She said if I wanted to see the alley that the young man had passed away in. And we were on the corner. The alley was in back of us. And she kind of pulled me that direction. And I started to walk with her. And when we turned the corner into the alley, I looked into the alley, and there was, like, about 20 or so young gang members hanging out in the alley where the young man passed away. And all of a sudden, my heart started to beat. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I really want to go up in here. And but I've learned that God often places his people in hard places so that they could shine as lights. Amen. I've just learned that. And you're not going to experience a miracle if you never step out in faith. I've learned that. Settle for just being comfortable, we're never going to experience the power of God as we should. And as I got closer, I was walking in the alley. There I was. I had a suit on, and I'm walking in the alley. The young gang members, they're looking at me with curious eyes, right? I'm looking at them with curious eyes, right? And as I'm walking towards them, my heart started to beat a little faster. And I started to look around just, you know, to kind of purvey some exit strategy, right? Just kind of, I'll try to look around. You got to, you know, you got to be kind of safe, right? And as I looked around, I looked in back of me, and there was Chapel of Change. Like, I don't know, we were like 25 deep. And I looked back, and I seen the, and I didn't even tell them that I was walking away. I just happened to just be pulled away. And I look back and I see my brothers and my sisters walking in the alley joining me. And we were able to be a light in a dark place right there in the alley. And I'm telling you, it is moments like those that make me fall in love with Jesus more, right? It is moments like those that really fill my heart with the passion of the Lord, to be able to see your brothers and your sisters walking arm in arm with you in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, in the midst of darkness, and shining as a light for the glory of God. So I wanted to just celebrate that and tell the church, man, I love y'all. I love y'all. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, because we're a Bible-believing church, let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 is going to be the springboard for our study this morning. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. We had an awesome marriage conference yesterday at the Reef where tons and tons of couples came together and we worshiped the Lord. We had the word. We fellowship. And again, we ate, amen, some good stuff. So I really want to celebrate our Ignite ministry team for such an awesome job. And let's give the Lord a hand praise for them. And I learned something yesterday. We had a comedian there. We had a comedian, and the comedian was sharing some things that are some signs that you know when you're in the wrong church. Some signs. And one of the signs he shared is when the pastor calls you to turn to Genesis, and he's the last one to get there. Like he don't know where Genesis is at. You in a wrong church. Amen. So I made sure I marked my Bible. So you know, I know where Genesis is at. It's at the front of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 is going to be the focus of our study. I want to encourage you to follow along with me, to lean into this message, because I believe that God is going to strengthen somebody this morning. I believe that God is going to empower somebody this morning. I just happen to believe that there's power in the Word of God. I just happen to believe that there's healing in the Word of God, that there's Holy Ghost strength in the Word of God, that even as I'm preaching the Word of God, even now, there's power coming out in the atmosphere and filling you up and healing your mind and strengthening your soul. Some of y'all are going through some hard things in life, and you need a Holy Ghost jumpstart. Need a Holy Ghost jumpstart. It comes by way of the Word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it reads like this. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. He had Methuselah. Don't get any ideas, all right? Don't get any ideas. All right, some of y'all get that later. Verse 20, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Someone say walk with God. Walk with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Someone say walked with God. Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want you to underline that phrase, walked with God, because it says twice in one passage of scripture, walked with God. Now let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray for a spirit of understanding. Enlighten us, Lord God. Strengthen us. Inspire us. And if need be, correct us. In Jesus' name, we all pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. My assignment today and all day long, I just came from our Carson campus preaching this word, and we're going to go to Long Beach campus, back to Paramount, 12:30, and then 5 p.m. at Carson campus. My assignment is to talk to you from the subject, or teach you from the subject, how to walk with God. Someone say, how to walk with God. I really believe that God is looking for some radical disciples in our generation. I really believe that God is looking for some radical followers in our generation. I really believe that God is separating those from which just believe in him and to those that really want to follow him, those that want to follow after him, those that want to be his disciples. I believe that if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, we need to learn to walk with God. If we're going to ever advance the kingdom of God in our generation, we need to learn to walk with God. If our marriages are going to be what God has called them to be, we need to learn to walk with God. If our families are going to be what God has called them to be, we need to learn to walk with God. And I want to just remind us this morning that Christianity is not just about a talk, but it is about a walk. Right? Christianity is not just about a talk, but it is about a walk. Christianity is not just about a confession of Christ, but it's about a walk with Christ. Is anybody following along? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Christianity is not just a confession of Christ, but it is a walk with Christ. God doesn't just want you to talk about this. He wants you to walk about this, right? He wants you to live out what you learn. He wants you to walk out what you learn. I'd rather walk out one verse than have 1,000 memorized. I'd rather walk out one verse than have 1,000 memorized. Because Christianity is not just about a talk, it is about a walk. For example, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power." Amen? So there ought to be some power in our life. There ought to be some Holy Ghost power in our life. And it comes by way of walking this thing out. The more we walk out the word in our life, the more we experience the power of God. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So I want us to tackle the question this morning, what does it mean to walk with God? We're going to learn a little bit from the brother in the Bible by the name of Enoch. Someone say Enoch. Seven generations down from Adam, we find Enoch. Enoch was a leader of leaders. He was a patriarch. People looked up to Enoch for wisdom. People looked up to Enoch for direction. It was his responsibility to provide for his family. It was his responsibility to lead his community. And he learned that the key to providing for his family, the key to being an effective leader, the key to being all that God has called him to be, was learning to walk with God. And we want to look at him for a moment. We want to put his life underneath a microscope this morning and kind of extract some things of him walking with the Lord. By the way, Enoch is only one of the two people in the Bible that specifically says walked with God. There are only two people in the entire Bible that it says walked with God. And I believe that's a powerful testimony to have. I believe that's a powerful testimony to have, and that we need more people with that testimony. We need more people that will decide to walk with God. We need more marriages that will decide to walk with God. We need more single people that will decide to walk with God instead of walking with Joe and whoever else. We need people with the testimony that will say, "I walk with God." We need to be able to look at somebody and say, "Man, there's something different about that sister's life. She is walking with God. There's something different about that brother's life. He is walking with God." When people look into the lives of believers, they ought to see a window into the kingdom of God. When they look into the life of believers, they ought to see a window into the kingdom of God. So what does it mean? What does it mean to walk with God? I want to just pull out a couple reflections in our study this morning. And the first one is this. Someone say number one. Number one, agree with God. Agree with God. The prophet Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Can two walk together unless they agreed? So this gives us insight in how Enoch was able to walk with God for such a long time, is because he learned to agree with God. Because you cannot walk with God if you continually disagree with God. Anybody follow along? One doesn't walk with someone over a long period of time who constantly disagrees with them. It just doesn't happen. You don't want to walk with someone who's constantly arguing with you. So a key to walking with God is learning to quickly agree with God. That's one of the keys to walking with God over a long period of time, is to learn to quickly agree with God. Let me further prove this, okay? The prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Listen to what he says. He says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Have you ever asked that question? What does the Lord require of me? Lord, what do you expect of me? What do you expect of my life? Now that I'm following you, now that I'm in the kingdom of God, what is it that you expect of my life? Well, he tells us in this verse, listen to what he says. He says to act justly. In other words, to do right. Some of y'all need to start doing right. Do right, do right, do right. To act justly and to love mercy. The people of God ought to be the most merciful people in the entire world. You know why? Because God has been merciful to us. Right? To love mercy, and look at what he says, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord expect of us? He expects us to walk humbly with our God. Now, what does it mean to walk humbly with God? Let me give you some insight onto this. Number one, it means that we lower ourselves to the perspective of God. It means that we lower ourselves to the viewpoint of God. It means that we agree with God. It means that we give God the right of way. We give God the right of way in our decisions. We give God the right of way in our emotions. We give God the right of way in our relationships. We give God the right of way in our priorities. We give God the right of way in our homes. What does it mean to walk humbly before the Lord? It means to give God the right of way. You can't call on God and expect him to yield to you. No, you need to yield to him. Does this make sense to anybody? Whenever you call on somebody that has power and you don't give them the right of way, you breed frustration. You breed frustration. The reason why we're calling on God is because we're asking for his help. We're asking for his mercy. And the Lord goes to help us, but we got to give him the right away. Someone say right away. That's what it means to live humbly before the Lord. And let me just remind us. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, if you're a disciple of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is our guide. The role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us. We should never be lost in life. We should never be walking around in circles in life. Not when we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Look at this. He can't guide us if we're too busy arguing with him. He can't guide us if we don't listen to him. He can't guide us if we don't follow his promptings. I was sharing with the Whittier campus last night. We have Saturday night 5 p.m. service in Whittier. And I was sharing with them that when God goes to lead us and direct us, he doesn't audibly tell you to turn left or turn right. Typically, he doesn't say, turn left on Alondra. No. How the Holy Spirit leads us typically is through promptings in our spirit. He'll say, he'll prompt you, you better go forgive that person. He'll prompt you, you better go do that. But if you don't ever yield to him, you will grow insensitive and you'll desensitize yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The more you give God the right of way, the more sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit, and the less you'll become lost in life. The less you'll make bad decisions. The less you will hit your head on a wall. Anybody following along? So I would just give you some advice. For those watching on TV, I'll give you some advice. Learn to quickly agree with God. Learn to quickly agree with God, or else you'll find yourself walking in a circle for 40 years. Walking in a circle, 40 years. Enoch chose to agree with God. We must choose to agree with God. As we walk with God, my brothers and sisters, he's going to speak into our lives those things that need to be changed. The more we walk with God, the more he speaks into our life on the things that we need to alter or the things that we need to put in order. Remember, I shared with you one of the definitions of the kingdom of God is the order of God. When the kingdom of God breaks out in our life, he puts our life back in order. When the kingdom of God breaks out in our marriage, he puts our marriage back in order. We get confused or we draw confusion whenever we're out of order. And so the more we walk with God, the more he whispers by the Holy Spirit, that needs to go, that needs to go, that needs to go, that needs to go. You need to put this here, you need to put that here. Yeah, and the more you walk, he speaks. The more you walk, he speaks. And my advice to you is to quickly agree with God. Or else you'll find yourself walking around in circles for 40 years. I had a good conversation with a sister who is struggling with her sexual identity. And she happens to be married to another female. And she came up to me and asked to talk with me. And so I sat down with her and to hear her heart and to hear her out. And she shared with me, she said, and I'm paraphrasing, she said, you know what? She said, Pastor Brian, I've been looking for a church for a long time, and I believe I finally got my church. Like, every time I come to Chapel Change, I come alive. Every time I come to Chapel Change, I'm learning something from the Bible. Every time I come to Chapel Change, I'm experiencing the power of God. Like, man, I finally found my church, right? I finally found what God is, you know, working in my life. He's speaking into my life. This is what she's sharing with me. And as I sat there, she went on to say, she said, but Pastor Brian, lately I've been feeling a little uncomfortable because I've been hearing some things from the church that I do not agree with. Yeah. So she asked me, she says, what do you say about that? What is your response to that? Yeah. These are some issues of our culture today. These are some things that the church needs to be able to address in a loving way. If we can't address situations like this, then why do we exist? Right? We need to be able to invade spaces in love and care and just say whatever the Lord put on our heart according to the Word of God. So I sat there, one of the first things that I shared, amongst other things, is that we love everybody who comes to Chapel of Change. We love everybody who comes to Chapel. Anybody who gets dropped off to Chapel of Change, we just jump all over them. But just because we love somebody doesn't mean we agree with their lifestyle. Just because we love somebody doesn't mean we agree with their lifestyle. My parents continued to love me for a couple years, even though they did not agree with my lifestyle that I was living. And I would imagine your parents still loved you, because some of you don't act like I was the only one acting like a fool. Some of y'all were acting like a fool, and your parents still loved you, even though they didn't agree with your lifestyle. So I share it. We love everybody. Doesn't mean we agree with the lifestyle. Doesn't mean. And secondly, this is who we are as a church. Like, this is who we are. We believe the Bible. We agree with God. This is just who we are. We believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. This is just who we are. Just who we are. You need to understand that's just who we are. When you go over a visit or go to someone else's house, you don't make them agree with you. You got to agree with them to a certain degree. Especially if you live in someone's house. You don't go to someone's house and say, man, I want you to change all your rules. No, you got to a certain degree, comply with what they value. Does this make sense to anybody? And so my heart was just to say, I didn't want to prove her wrong. I didn't want to condemn her. I didn't want to make her feel bad. This is what we believe. This is who we are. I'm not trying to crush anybody, but no, this is just who we are. You got to understand that. And my encouragement to you is to continue to walk with God and allow him to speak, because apparently he's working in your life. He's speaking in your life. And I want to celebrate that. I want to celebrate that God is challenging you and working in your life. But my encouragement is to continue to walk with him. Walk with him. Because when we walk with God, he's not a silent walker. If the God you're walking with is silent, it is not the God of the Bible. My God in the Bible, he speaks. And sometimes when he speaks, he shakes mountains. We cannot just walk with God and expect everything to stay the same. That's not the God of the Bible. So Enoch, the first thing he did is he agrees with God. Someone say number two. Number two, he stands with God for kingdom values. He stands with God. Now, the Bible gives us a glimpse into the culture in which Enoch lived. And I want to read this out. Check this out, because this is the culture in which Enoch walked with the Lord in. In Genesis 6:5, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I want us to notice the culture in which Enoch lived, because some of us, you know, we give up because of the culture in which we live. Oh, I might as well give up. Everything is against me. Everything is going wrong. But Enoch lived in a wicked generation. He lived in such a wicked generation that they broke the heart of God, and God was saying to them, man, I didn't create you to live like this. I didn't create you to live this lifestyle. And not too long after this, they were so terrible that God destroyed the whole earth. This is the culture in which Enoch walked with the Lord with. Can I take you deeper? When you study this chapter, you'll learn that Enoch had a cousin by the name of Lamech. And Lamech and Enoch lived during the same time. You study the biography of Lamech in this chapter, and you'll learn that Enoch's cousin was very, very ungodly. He introduced polygamy into the world. You know what polygamy is? That means he had more than one wife. The brother was trying to be a playa from the Himalayas, right? But I don't know why I said that, but he was terrible, right? When you study his bio in this chapter, you'll learn that he committed murder. He confessed the murder. He said, I murdered someone because they hurt me. He didn't know how to deal with his pain, so he killed somebody. This brother Lamech, he devalued the word of the Lord. He did not value the word of the Lord. This brother Lamech, he lived a wicked life. And so you're probably wondering, why are you bringing out Lamech's life and you're trying to compare it to Enoch? Because I want you to see something in here that I can picture Lamech approaching Enoch all the time saying, come on cousin, let's get this party started. Come on cousin, I got all the girls right here, I got all the money right here, I got my car waiting on the street. I can picture Lamech, Enoch's cousin, texting him, come on cousin, let's get this party started. And it would have been easy for Enoch to do what all his family did. Would have been easy for Lamech to jump in that car of his cousin. Some of us got cousins like that even till today. It would have been easy for Enoch to do what the culture did. It would have been easy for Enoch to go with the flow. It would have been easy for Enoch to be a player like his cousin. He was surrounded by ungodliness. He was going against the grain. But Enoch chose to stand with God. He chose to stand with God. He chose to roll with God, and he walked with God so tough in the midst of his generation that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 describes his life by saying he was known as a person who pleased God. Enoch was known as a person who pleased God. I'm gonna please God. I'm not pleasing you, cousin. I'm not pleasing you, family. This is where the line is drawn. You may be able to go that way, but I'm going this way with God. That's what Enoch did. He drew a line in the sand, even with his family. Some of us are here today. I'll dare say some of y'all, your family is trying to pull you away. And some of us need to draw a line in the sand like Enoch. I'm standing with God. Enoch chose to stand with God, but can I take you just a little bit deeper? I want to share with you a scripture that kind of anchors this mentality of putting God in the center of all that we do. I want to remind you of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, but seek first, someone say first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. This kind of summarizes the life of Enoch. He put God first. He put God at the center of all he did. And this is very powerful because Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first God. Seek first the rule of God. Prioritize God in your life. Put him at the center. Pursue God first. Someone say first. Now, when you study God in the Bible, man, you'll learn that there are a couple things that God cannot do. I know that sounds crazy, but there are a couple things that God cannot do. And one of the things that God cannot do is be second. God refuses to be second. He will not be second fiddle to nobody. He refuses to be second. He will not be sloppy seconds to nobody. Study it through your Bible. He is a jealous God. He talks a lot about being first. He says in Exodus, he says, you shall have no other God before me. He says again in Exodus, he says, bring your first of your resources to me. Bring your first of your cattle to me. Bring the first of your prosperity to me. I don't want sloppy seconds. Bring it first. Revelation chapter 2, he talks about go back to your first love. Go back to your first love, which is Jesus, right? See, I really believe, my brothers and sisters, the reason why many of us are not experiencing the power of God as we should is because we got God second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth in our life. The reason why we're not experiencing the power of God as we should, the reason why we're not experiencing the Holy Spirit as we should, the reason why we're not experiencing miracles as we should is because we got God second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 20th in our life. And the Lord has called you here this morning saying it's time to rearrange some stuff. It's time to put God back in the place where he should be in your heart, which is first, which is the center. This is why Jesus said, seek ye first. Someone say first. World is in trouble even today because someone decided to put God second. Because you know, the world is in sin. The world is broken even today. Because someone decided to put God second. You could trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We taught about this a couple months ago. Remember the Garden of Eden? Eve, she took of the fruit that she was not supposed to eat in front of Adam. And she goes to Adam and she hands it to Adam. And what does Adam do? Adam chooses Eve before God. And as a result of putting God second, he throws the whole world into chaos. We lose the kingdom and sin enters the world. Sickness enters the world. Brokenness enters the world. Every chaotic thing enters the world. Why? Because we put God second. The Lord refuses to be second in our life. My son, Nathaniel, just turned 10 years old this year. And so he's starting to develop his cognitive reasoning. He's starting to develop his thinking, and the brother thinks he's smart. Came up to me about a week ago and tried to corner me with some philosophical question. I was sitting in my office and the young brother came up to me and he said, Daddy, who would you choose, me or God? That brother tried to throw out a philosophical question and corner a brother. He said, and he was sincere too. He was sincere. He said, Daddy, who would you choose, me or God? I looked that young brother in his eyes. I said, Nathaniel, listen to me. I'm about to lace you up. I'm going to help you because what I'm about to tell you right now is going to help you navigate through this wicked world. You're going to be faced with some hard decisions in your life, and what I'm about to tell you right now is going to help you. You better pay attention. And I held Nathaniel. I looked him in the eye. I said, Nathaniel, let me ask you a question. Who would you choose, the blessing or the blesser? Who would you choose? What would you choose? I said, Nathaniel, you better pay attention, because in this house, we choose the blesser. Because when you choose the blesser, you get the blessing. You get the blessing. You get the blessing. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't let the enemy turn it around. That's what a lot of us do, is we turn it around and we go after the blessing and we lose everything. We choose the blesser, because when you choose the blesser, you get the blessing. And I told Nathaniel, I said, by the way, let me remind you, don't ever forget this. Your name Nathaniel in Hebrew means gift from God. Gift from God. Don't ever forget that. We choose the blesser. And that's a blessing. Because if we don't put God first, nothing else matters. If we don't put God first, nothing else matters. If we don't put God at the center of our decisions, at the center of our life, nothing else matters. If we don't put God at the center of everything we do, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. A while ago, I was playing baseball, really softball. And the pitcher, he threw one of them high pitches, went all the way up to the air. And I don't know what happened, but I think the anointing came upon me. And I stood right there and I cracked the ball. That thing went high into the air. I got excited. And so I started to take off. I started to book towards first base. I started to run. I didn't want to look to the left. I didn't want to look to the right. I started to run towards first base, and I ran around first base, and I headed towards second base. Man, I was excited, right? I ran around second base. I go towards third base, and I look up, and the third base coach, he's going like this. But I think he's cheering me on, going like this. Yeah. So I keep my head down and I start running fast, man. I'm booking. I go around third base and I go towards home, and there's people behind home base, and they, again, they're like this. But I think they're cheering me on like this. Yeah. So I run towards home base and I dive. And the dust comes in the air in slow motion. Right? And I beat the throw. Dived. I slid head first. Steve Garvey. And next thing I know, the catcher catches the ball and he tags me. And the umpire says, "You're out. You're out." And I get up. I'm like, "What are you talking about? What do you mean I'm out? I beat the throw. I clearly beat the throw." And the umpire said, "You did not touch first base." Listen, my brothers and sisters, nothing else matters. If you don't touch first base, I don't care how fast you run. I don't care how beautiful your slide was. I don't care how far or high you hit the ball. If you don't touch first base, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And I have a sneaky suspicion that many people in this world are going to stand before God on Judgment Day. And we're going to say, "God, I was a good person. God, I did good. God, I built a house. God, I worked for 30 years. God, I saved money. I put my kids in college. I did this and I did that." And God is going to look at us. But yes, you did not put me at the center. You did not have me first in your life. When you don't put God first, nothing else matters. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, while the worship team comes up, just for a couple moments, while everybody remains seated, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. What was it that God was trying to get across to us this morning? Maybe there's some people in here that need to rearrange the priorities in their life. I don't know. But while everybody remains seated with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a couple moments, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. What is it that the Lord tried to get across to you? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anybody in the house this morning that through the preaching of God's word, you recognize that you don't have God first in your life. You don't have God first in your decisions. You don't have God first in your priorities. And that this morning, you want to repent of that. You want to reorder your life with putting God at the center, with putting God first. Maybe there's someone in here who needs to put Jesus first in their life. I want you to think about that for a moment, if that's you, because in a moment, I'm going to call you to respond. And I want to just pray with you right where you're at. Just think about that. Is that you? Do you need to put Jesus first? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you, you recognize that you need to put Jesus first. I want to ask that just by faith, you just stand up right where you're at as an act of faith. Just stand up, and I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. Anybody, I see you. You need to put Jesus first. I see you. You need to put Jesus first. Somehow or another, the enemy has tricked us. And Jesus has moved out the center of our life. If you're in the balcony, you need to put Jesus first. Stand up right where you're at. For many of us, this is not an issue of salvation. This is an issue of priority. That somehow or another, the enemy has deceived us into putting something else before God in our decisions, in our thinking, in our priorities. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's the pursuit of money. Maybe it's the pursuit of a relationship. Maybe somehow we've been deceived into thinking that if we prioritize that relationship, we will feel fulfilled. But nothing is going to fulfill us other than Jesus being first in our life. So if you're here today, you need to put Jesus first in your life. Just stand up right where you're at. I want to pray with you. For those of you who stood up, I want to ask that you just say this prayer from your heart with me, and then I'll pray over you. Lord God, I am sorry. I messed up, and somehow I moved you out of being first in my life. But today, I repent. I turn from that mistake. And today, I allow you to be first in my heart, to be first in my decisions, to be first in my life. Lord, help me to guard that. Help me to protect that. Lord, I don't want to live without you being first. I don't want to live this life without you being first. Help me, Lord, to keep you first in my life, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you, for those of you who stood up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you for the courage of them to stand up. I thank you for the transparency, Lord God. Lord, we repent. We turn from this wicked way of moving you out of priority in our life. Help us, Father, to protect your place in our heart. Pray for my brothers and sisters. Strengthen them. Help them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Help them to keep their eyes on you. Help them to stand with you. Help them to agree with you, Father God. Every time you speak into our life on things that need to be rearranged or reordered or cut out or put in, help us to agree with that. Help us to stand in that, Father. Lord, we want to follow the example of Enoch. We want to live pleasing to you. Not to man, not to society, but to you, Father. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God.